Hello, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast hosted at podfeet.com. Welcome to show number 17. Today is Sunday, November 13th. This is the first podcast after Ron and I went to the Podcast Expo. You got your midterm review partway through. I'm sure you got the excitement and thrill of what I was talking about there, but this will be the extended play version. Before I get into the expo, here's an update on the countries you're all from. My experiment failed miserably from last week. As you might recall, I gave you the assignment of trying to find someone in Russia to listen to us, but nobody came through. However, we did pick up four new countries: Brazil, Belgium, the United Arab Emirates, and Portugal. We have to go look up exactly where the United Arab Emirates are. That's how out of touch I am with geography. But we finally have some listeners in the Middle East, so that's pretty exciting. It's just such a rush to see all these new countries popping up. That's a lot of fun. Well, there's the main thing that I got out of the podcast expo was the excitement, energy, and enthusiasm there is for this topic. It's interesting because this is a huge group of people gathered together with one thing in common: the technology of podcasting to deliver what they have to say, but everybody's got something completely different to say. So, you know, we're sitting around the table, you've got teachers, ad agencies, jazz musicians, hikers, newscasters, accessibility advocates, you know, every different subject in the world. One thing I was worried about was that it was just podcasters sitting around talking about podcasting, but it really isn't. It's people talking about subjects that they're really interested in, and they want to see either who they can get to or how they can use this medium or what it really means. That is one theme that I saw throughout this was a whole lot of people going, what does it mean? What can this be? What are the extents? What are the limits of what we can actually do here? It seems like it's not very limited, that's for sure. And the excitement about that is really what I got out of it. I have an awful lot to tell you, so this is going to be a long podcast, so either relax in a really comfortable chair or start a really long outdoor project before you start listening to this, or cut it in half and listen to it in two pieces. I did take a fair number of pictures, and I'll be posting those online soon. Not sure if they'll be up tonight or if it'll be a couple of days, but there's some fun ones in there. I had such a good time, and we did get some, Ron and I got some good memories from that. There's going to be more detailed notes on the website of the seminars and word for word what a lot of people said, but I don't want to read them here, so you actually might get something different from reading those. Let's see. Well, Leo was the second guy up, believe it or not, in the he was supposed to be the first keynote, but he ended up being the second keynote. That's Leo Laporte. You might know him as the tech guy on KFI Radio in Los Angeles. He does a podcast of that show. He's also the main guy behind the Twitcast, This Week in Tech, and he started one with Steve Gibson called Security Now. And you might also know him as Allison Sheridan's idol. I said before I went to the expo that if I could actually meet Leo Laporte, I would pretty much die and go to heaven happy. And I met my dream. So I'll tell you about that in just a minute. So one of the things I liked was when he first started his keynote, he was having a whole bunch of technical problems. All kinds of things are happening that weren't supposed to be happening. So he finally grabs the microphone and he says, "I hate computers." It was just such a great line. At one point, he proudly showed his FCC third class ticket. That's what allows him to do to be a broadcaster from just ages and ages ago. It was kind of cute. He talked about how you had to take a test with questions like, how do you calculate transmit power and force you to do Morse code? He said that the first radio station he worked at was actually hosted out of a brothel, and he had to beg to try and get a job there. He went back time after time to get a chance to get a job there. He ran religious tapes all night long, was his first show, and only 1 hour of that was he allowed to actually be a DJ. But it was so boring, he actually fell asleep during his own show, and he looked up at the clock when he woke up and realized 15 minutes of dead time had gone by. And no one noticed. No one called. No one noticed at all. A little depressing, but he was so happy to be in radio. It was a lot of fun. He also mentioned that he tried to use his real name. His real name is Leo Laporte in the French pronunciation, but they told him that it sounded gay. So he said, "Okay, what if I go by Leo Laporte?" And they said, "Well, that'd be all right." So he made a really interesting point about podcasting, why it's so powerful of a medium. He said, when you're podcasting, you're listening, you're frequently have the person is listening to you with headphones, which means you're actually whispering in their ear. And I thought that was such a vivid description of what it's really like when you feel like you know the person who's doing the podcast. You know, I know that I'm really tight with Adam Curry and Adam Christensen and Todd Cochran and all the guys that I listen to. You know, it's true. It's like they're whispering in my ear, and that makes such an intimate connection, and a lot more intimate than if it were a video cast. Videocast probably will have their place, but I think the audio alone is a really powerful medium, and something that we shouldn't take for granted. That's for sure. One of the points that he really makes strongly, and I really agree to this, is he says, "What do our listeners want?" He said they want to listen to what they want, when they want, wherever they want. And that's what podcasting is bringing to people, that it's on their own time frame. You get to pick and choose that, you know, if you want to listen to religious shows, or you want to listen to sports or politics or knitting, for crying out loud, you can. And you can listen to it when you want. You can listen to it in your car. You can listen to it when you're gardening, whatever you're doing, you're jogging, or you can listen to it sitting at a computer if you like. And the third component is how you want. You can listen to it on your computer. You can listen to it on any kind of MP3 player. It is completely without restriction. And that's what's really making it so expansive and supplanting, in a lot of cases, traditional radio because of the restrictions that you have. So we've got to really keep track of that and make sure that's in the forefront of our mind, if that's what the listeners really want. He showed a service called PodTrack, PodTrac, and there's going to be a couple of technology things that I'm going to hold until a future podcast, because I want to really get in and understand them, and I've just got too much to say today about all this other stuff. So anyway, PodTrack has a service that allows you to do a survey of your by people who visit your website, and he did run that survey, and he thought it was pretty funny. He said that 97% of the listeners to his This Week in Tech podcast are male, and he really wanted to know why. I have a suggestion. I think men fill out surveys more often than women, but it's probably still has a lot to do with the fact that his podcast, the Twitcast anyway, is very, very hardcore, hardware geeky. It's not a lot about software. It's a lot about the inner workings of the hardware. I do remember one of the Twitcasts saying at one point, somebody going, "Oh, dude, I'm like so over that motherboard." And, you know, geez, you just don't hear women say those sentences so often. You know, I'm sure the 3% do, but not something that comes up in conversation a lot. He showed a website called Frapper.com. And as is all the rage, there's no E in Frapper. I don't quite understand what this rage is, but you've got Flickr with no E and System with no E. Well, now there's Frapper with no E, FRAPPR.com. It allows you to set up a website where your visitors can say what city and country they're from, and it puts little push pins into a map to let them show off where they're from. So he showed his map, and he said it just takes forever to load, but he did a screen snapshot of it. And one thing I noticed was that he also has no listeners in Antarctica, so I really would like to find some Antarctican listeners. I think I'm going to go see if I can find some websites that are about that and see if I can get somebody to connect in. That would be fun to get it before Leo. I did also notice his African listenership is very small also, and I've mentioned that we don't have anybody from Africa tapping in yet, so maybe there's something about Africa that people don't have a lot of connection or something. So, let's see, he got a little philosophical here. He said he was going to get serious on us. He talked about some work done by a guy named Maslow. Maslow developed the hierarchy of needs. And he talked about how, and I think a lot of people have heard this before, the first thing you need to survive is food and drink. Then you need safety. Then the next thing is belonging and love. After that is self-esteem / ego needs. And the very top is self-fulfillment. And this sounds kind of sappy coming from me, but if you could hear Leo say it, I'm hoping they have that as a podcast. It really, really struck home. He said, as podcasters, we live in the top triangle, self-fulfillment. And his point was, if you realize your own dreams and speak from your deepest heart, when you fulfill that, you'll succeed as a human and as a podcaster. And to take the mushy parts aside, what he really talked about was that it all comes down to passion. If you're a passionate speaker, if you're passionate about what you have to say, then you will be successful as a podcaster. And I really took that to heart. I thought that was really interesting. So I said that I realized my greatest dream. I got a chance to go up and chat a little bit with Leo, and my buddy Ron took a picture of me with him, so I can even prove that I met my dream. So he could not have been more gracious, more kind, genuinely interested in each person who was talking to him. You know, he didn't try to do the bum's rush and get people through so that he talked to a lot of people. Instead, he just listened to each person and interacted and talked about what it meant. So he didn't get to talk to a lot of people that way, but each person that he talked to were really touched by him, I think. And I think one of the funniest things that happened when I talked to him was that I told him my name, and he said, "Well, my cousin's name is Allison Sheridan." So I thought that was pretty cool. So when I gave him my business card, I figured everybody there was shoving their business card in his hand. So I did a little trick there. I wrote "not your cousin" on it. So I figure when he gets back to his house and he's got this big stack of cards like I did, and he fishes through them, he's going to find one that says "not your cousin," and maybe that'll get him to hang on to it. Anyway, I thought that was kind of fun. So, you know, I'm going to call myself Leo's cousin from now on. I went to a panel that was pretty interesting. The people on the panel were from Whirlpool, Disneyland, and the Department of the Treasury, a federal organization. The woman from Whirlpool talked about the fact that the Whirlpool is the Tin Man. They bring gigantic metal boxes into your house, and they don't have a heart. So rather than doing a podcast about, you know, fabric softener or something like that, they decided to do a podcast called American Family. And they wanted to just touch people in their home, in where they live. And she said, if you listen to my podcast, what you should be getting out of this is you should feel that I'm sitting on the front porch with my best friend, just sipping on lemonade and hearing about her life. And she said, you know, we're interviewing like a mother with two kids, and how does she keep the family going and work on a budget, and you know, the husband who's got to get to work, and you know, it sounds real slanted towards women and men and all that, but that's not what she meant. But it's just really about families, and that sounded kind of interesting. Sound very open-minded. Again, who would think that Whirlpool would do a podcast about what it's like to be in a family? The gentleman from Disneyland was interesting. He said that they're doing their podcast only once a month, but it's an hour-long podcast, and they got started when they were preparing for their 50th anniversary, which all of 2005 is a huge celebration at Disneyland right now. He said one of them was about the Haunted Mansion, and they had the guy who had created the Haunted Mansion there, and he took them all through and talked about the secret inner workings, which must have been really cool. And one of them, they had all of the original Mouseketeers. Oh, this was really funny when I was telling my daughter about this. And when I said the original Mouseketeers, she said, "You mean Britney Spears?" Those of you who are my age will get that that's pretty funny, because when the original Mouseketeers are more like the Annette Funicellos, I think is who he was talking about. Anyway, I'm going to go back and listen to that podcast. I bet that's a lot of fun. One question that came up to him was, a lot of people are obviously concerned about what do you do about licensed music, because you can't play licensed music on a podcast. Well, Disneyland is just full of licensed music being played in the background. So what do you do about that? And he says, well, whenever they do a podcast, they have to spend a lot of time going through the lawyers and getting everything approved. Even if Disney owns it, I guess if it's still licensed, it's a problem. They got to get it all figured out. But they had that all done until they were talking to the Mouseketeers, and they broke into the song. So that was pretty funny. He's like, oh, man, what are we going to do about that? He said they've got a podcast coming up where they talk about how to take care of reindeer, because they're going to be bringing live reindeer into Disneyland this winter. So that really was an interesting twist, too. Timing-wise, they're doing it, like I said, for an hour once a month, so a little different than a lot of other ones. Talk about different. The Department of the Treasury guy I thought was real interesting. He talked about what they do is they auction off debt. And I'm not a finance person, so I don't quite understand this, but I guess you can bid to loan money to the government. So you give them you know, a rate that you want to pay, or you want to be paid, and they pick the lowest bidder, I guess, is the way that would work. And he said ever since they started doing a podcast about auctioning off the debt, they have a podcast every Tuesday and Thursday to coincide with their auctions. And now their auctions actually sell out every single time. And he says, I'm not sure I can take credit for it, but that was he was pretty happy about that. I asked him about the bureaucracy. You know, what do you do in a big federal organization like that? How do you get approval for doing something as frightening as an outdoor, you know, an outdoor podcast like that? And he said that if an idea fits into the organizational goals, then it'll go through quickly. People will help you get it passed. If it's not, doesn't fit into the organizational goals, or it's even against the goals, then you're going to have a lot more trouble getting approval. I thought that was kind of interesting. They had a long debate about how long a podcast should be. And let me see if I can swing up my notes on that part. That was pretty interesting. One of them said it should be 20 minutes. One of them said it should be 25 to 30 minutes. One of them said it had to be in the 10 to 20 minute time frame. One of them pointed out that Wichita Rutherford's podcast is only 5 minutes long, but he's so entertaining that it's just great to pick up a 5 minute podcast from him. The Treasury likes the 10 to 15 minute range. He said that during an auction, it's 2 hours long, but the critical time is the last 60 seconds. So they use the information gathered in that last 60 seconds to get people excited. I thought that all the way throughout this, I think the answer is there is no right length for podcasts, because the example of Wichita Rutherford at 5 minutes all the way up to Disneyland at an hour, a lot of people in the 10 to 20 minute range. So I'm going to stop worrying about how long my podcasts are. I have settled into about a 20 minute length, because that seems to be about how much content I have per week. But you know what? Tonight it's going to be longer, and what the heck? I can prove it's not wrong. a lot of discussion about sound quality. In this panel, they did talk about it a little bit, and they kind of came to the conclusion that if it was good enough sound to listen to, it didn't irritate you, then that was good enough. But I also went to an advanced class on audio editing for the Macintosh and using mixers and stuff. And man, was I over my head immediately. I mean, I walked in there and the guy opened his mouth, and after he said he was from New York, I didn't understand anything he said. He had all these pictures of these mixers and all this equipment, and he talked for 40 minutes and 45 minutes and no idea what he was talking about. I actually confessed to Ron on the way home that I didn't know what a mixer was, and he explained it to me, so I felt a little bit better after that. Ron's nice about that. He doesn't make fun of me when I ask stupid questions. So anyway, my plan is to make my audio good enough you can listen to it, but I don't think I'm going to spend too much time beyond that. Got a couple ideas of some stuff Leo talked about, but we'll see. Talk about that later. The next panel I went to had, this was a great one. It had Paul Griffin of Griffin Technologies. Those are the guys that make all kinds of accessories for the iPods and the Macs. They're completely in the Mac realm. A lot of interesting products there. Chris Breen of Playlist Magazine. I actually knew Chris Breen from watching him on Call for Help with Leo when he was on in the United States. And, big fan of his. He's a very Apple-oriented guy. He does a lot of Apple stuff, and that was fun. Oh, quick point here, and there's a photo to prove it. There were an awful lot of Macs at this place. I've been told or heard that most podcasters are using Macs, maybe three-quarters, something like that. It's certainly not 3% like it is in the market. And that was sure borne out at the Podcast Expo. I would say well over 50% of the people there had Macs. But what was really cool was it didn't matter. There was no discussion of it. There was no Macs are better than PCs, PCs are better than Macs. Even the guy that did the audio editing thing, he pointed out that PC people are lucky because there's a lot more cool tools on the PC for this than there are on the Mac. Or there's one really good tool, I guess he was talking about. So it was cool. At one point I was in a seminar, and there were these two guys working on something, paying no attention to the speaker, actually, which was kind of irritating, but I found it really interesting. They were working together, and they were going back and forth between the Mac and the PC, and it was irrelevant. It was just a tool. It didn't spark any great debate, so that was really cool. I kind of like that. So let's see. Oh, I was talking about the panel. The last guy on the panel was Dan Frakes from Macworld. I'm sorry, second to last one was Dan Frakes from Macworld, and the last person, Macworld Magazine, the last person was Leo Laporte. So couldn't be having more fun than that, right? Well, somebody asked the Griffin guy, he said, how irritating is it when Apple changes connectors? And I've thought about that a lot, because that's just got to drive him crazy, because Steve Jobs has never kept a connector more than 15 minutes. He sure likes to change those all the time. They asked him whether Apple gives him any kind of heads up when new products are coming, and Paul Griffin said, no, they don't ever tell us what's coming, but they have been known to call us up and say, hey, you might not want to make a lot more of those 9-pin connector devices, ... So they do get a little bit of a hint, so that's good. Leo asked why more people aren't incensed with the closed system created by iTunes and the iPod. And what he's talking about is the fact that if you buy your music on iTunes, you can only play it on an iPod. And if you buy your music somewhere else, you cannot play it on an iPod. And he was curious why people aren't more incensed about that. And the only conclusion the panel could come to was that the iPods are just really cool. So as long as the iPod is a cool device and it's keeping up or leading the technology, I think the model will continue to work. People won't be angry about it. What I like about Leo is while he loves the Mac and you know, really pushes it, he's completely realistic about it and about the things Apple does. He doesn't sit back and agree in all kinds of pablum about, you know, Apple's wonderful and they can do no wrong, that's for sure. He made a really smart aleck crack. He said that he knows why the backs of the iPods are chrome, because they scratch, and that way they're a disposable commodity. That was kind of funny. He also said that he thinks the reason Steve Jobs keeps the Mac operating system pretty much locked down, like on the PC you can skin it and change up the look quite easily, but on the Mac you can't do that without a third-party tool. And he says the reason Steve Jobs does that is so you'll buy a new OS every 2 years and think it's new because it looks different. I thought that was funny. After that panel, I got a chance to meet Chris Breen, and he was so cool. He was just really nice, really friendly. He was funny. Just really enjoyed talking to him. We discussed one of Leo's comments that Leo said that self-actualized people have self-deprecating senses of humor, that is, making fun of themselves, and not hostile senses of humor. And as we all absorb that, then he said, well, Howard Stern is the exception that proves the rule, of course. And so I told Chris Breen the story about how at work we do these things called 360-degree reviews, where we have people who we work for, people who are peers to us, and people that work for us do a review of us. And I always do a little outbrief of what I learned from that to my whole organization. But one of the comments I got back said, sarcasm is never necessary. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to give up a lot of stuff, but I'm not giving up sarcasm. It's just too much fun. When I talked to Chris Breen about that, he was laughing. He thought that was pretty funny. And he says, well, as long as sarcasm is done with love, it's okay. So I really enjoyed meeting him. I would have enjoyed him not thinking him famous, but him being famous adds it and makes it a little more fun. But he was just fantastic. So I'm going to take an intermission between the first 2 days and talk about some of the interesting people I met after talking to Chris Breen. Actually, this one was early on. I got to meet Todd Cochran of GeekNewsCentral.com. He does, he's also the CEO of PodcastConnect.com. I haven't checked that out yet. I got to find out what that is. He's the guy that wrote the book that I did a review on a couple of weeks ago, Podcasting Do-It-Yourself Guide. Again, you're going to start thinking this is a trite, but it's just true of all these people. He was so nice. He was helpful. He was friendly. He hung out with Ron and I for a while. We had a big laugh over the Coke machine that refused to give us water, but was insisting on giving us all of our change back from our dollar bills in nickels. So, anyway, we just had a really nice time talking to him. He was very friendly, helpful, great guy. I think one of the really, really high points for me was when Ron and I were standing outside of one of the seminars after it let out, and a guy walks up behind me and says, Allison Sheridan? And I turned around, and it's a gentleman I've never seen before, and I said, yes, and how do you know me? And he said, well, I recognize your voice from your podcast. And it was Adam Christensen of the MacCast. I mean, how cool is that? This guy was just so nice. And, oh, you're sick of hearing that. I didn't mean anybody mean, okay? I'm sorry about that. But Adam was really pleasant and just fun. And he hung out with us for a long time. And it was interesting because, you know, he's just a guy with a day job and a kid. And he's got a new baby on the way. Just couldn't have been more friendly. Just a really, really pleasant guy. Really enjoyed talking to him. That was probably one of the biggest thrills, was getting to talk to him. I got to find these cards because I got to read these names correctly. Two of the most interesting people I met were James Smith, who is the superintendent of public instruction. He's the program supervisor, enhancing education through technology, in Olympia, Washington. And so he's an educator, and he was with another educator named Sylvester Robertson. And he works for Cal State University of San Bernardino, and he's in the Department of Science, Math, and Technology Education. These two guys were, first of all, they were hilarious. They were just a gas to hang out with. I started stalking him at one point. I dragged him into a bar and made him have a drink with us, and we had a great time talking to him each time I stalked him. But I thought these guys were a great example of just open-minded people thinking, what can this do for us? And I really think podcasting has a great value to education. The angle I had been thinking of it from was from a university perspective, that if I'm enrolled in a class and I missed the lecture, how terrific it would be to be able to listen to it on a podcast on my own time. And also, what if I listen to a lecture and I'm looking at my notes going, what did he say? Or maybe I don't even have to take notes because I'd have the podcast to refer back to. That would be just spectacular to have. These guys were looking at it from a different perspective. What if you could have podcasts that teachers subscribe to, where they could get a history lesson from somebody interesting, or a math lesson, things to get people excited, or James' idea was, Sylvester's idea was, what if you could just post a podcast that started with, why is the sky blue? And then the kids had to work on why the sky would be blue, or is it really blue, and work out answers. And then they could post things on a website, and then more discussion could happen just to introduce interesting questions. So these guys really epitomized the attitude and open-mindedness of everyone that was there. They were just looking for, what does it mean? What could it be? You know, what could it grow into? I met an interesting guy named Boaz Ordan. He was from Israel, and he's a broadcaster in Israel who's fairly well known, and he also has a podcast. I went over to try to listen to it, and he said, yeah, that's going to be a problem for you because it's in Hebrew. But he went there with a very specific interest. He went there hoping to get instructions on how to do things, and it really wasn't about that. He's probably the only person I talked to who was kind of disappointed in it, and it was too bad, but we all went in with our own expectations, and you can't tell someone what their expectations should have been, because that's just wrong thinking. So I felt a little bad that he didn't get much out of that, but I managed to engage him in a healthy debate about what kind of podcasts are really going to make it in the future. He had an interesting perspective. He felt that there would probably only be two or three podcasts that each person listened to in the long run, and those would be the professional podcasts. But then we got into a discussion of, what is professional? Is professional someone who's paid, or is professional just someone who has a good radio voice, or is it someone who invested in the sound equipment to make their voice sound good? I don't think we reached any answers, but it was still a very interesting discussion. I really like talking to him too. I ran into John Chambers of the 1 Minute Tip podcast. He does a podcast for the Macintosh that is 1 minute long. And again, proof that there is no right answer. I'm sure the Mouseketeers at an hour were interesting, and the 1 Minute Tip podcast is a great podcast that really helps out Mac users. He was really, really friendly, and I enjoyed talking to him too. More interesting people. Ron and I hung out for quite a while with Daryl Shandro of the Blind Access Journal, and Mika, and boy, pronouncing this name is going to be a real trick because I never heard it out loud. I'm going to go with Pekala. Mika Pekala does a podcast called DC Night Out. These guys are both blind, both fun, both silly, daring, just really, really interesting people. They, Daryl was very interested in working on accessibility and, what can be done in terms of podcasting. I mean, God, his podcasting is a great medium for the blind. I don't know what is. He recorded almost everything that was going on. He had an iRiver around his neck with a little microphone, and he was controlling it with his cell phone, which I found really interesting. But anyway, we went to the podcast awards, which unfortunately the acoustics were horrible in this room. You would think with an audio thing they would have done a little more work on that, but that was pretty lame, so I didn't pay too much attention to that. But Adam Curry was hanging out over on the side, and Adam was being kind of aloof. He was just kind of leaning up against against the wall and not really talking to anybody. But Daryl said he really wanted to talk to him about accessibility. So we kind of elbowed our way over there past everyone who was around him, and Daryl got a chance to talk to him. And I was really watching Adam. You know, my impression of him listening to his podcast is that that he really, really cares about people and cares about the way this is going and the movement. And but then again, he's a big radio personality, big TV personality. You know, would he be cool in person or would he be a jerk? And the attention that he gave to Daryl really, really was great, because he just completely focused on what Daryl was telling him. You know, he wasn't about being famous at all. He was about what can we do to make this medium more accessible. And he listened very, very carefully to what Daryl was telling him. And then he asked Daryl whether he would be willing to help make the podcast directories more accessible, because there's some issues. And Daryl said, yeah, you know, I'd love to do that. And he says, well, can you help us with Bugzilla? Bugzilla is an open source bug tracking tool, or what's it called? It's a, shoot, the name escapes me of what it does. But anyway, it's a way of finding out problems in your code that would help you to record the errors that are in it. And not just fails, but you know, things that could be better. And Daryl said, yeah, I'd love to help with Bugzilla. And Adam Curry took Daryl's card and he gave it to a guy that was with him, and he said, make sure Daryl is included in our Bugzilla work and make sure CC Chapman gets this guy's card and works with him. So Adam came through with flying colors on that whole front. He really was able to connect with him and make a difference. So that was very cool. So Daryl and Mika and Ron and I went out to dinner with Deb Shadovich, who is a freelance writer for Mac Addict, and Shelley of Shelley's Podcast. We had a great time, hung out, didn't stay up too late, didn't party like crazy animals, but it was kind of nice getting a good night's sleep before another day of seminars. One, I don't know if I can call it a highlight or not, but we had the great pleasure to meet Madge Weinstein. I'm just going to leave it up to the imagination when you look at the picture of Madge. Madge is different. I'm not sure I want to say anything more about Madge. Madge is kind of frightening. But anyway, moving on to the next day. So day two. All right, we're at 32 minutes. I'm only on day two, but trust me, it's not near as long because I don't have an intermission in this one. Doug Kay was the keynote speaker from IT Conversations. If you haven't listened to IT Conversations, I really encourage you to check it out. These are... a lot of podcasts are like a story. You know, you're following me day to day. Each time I do a podcast, it's somehow linked to what happened before. But IT Conversations are independent interviews or seminars that have been done in different venues that you can go pick and choose which one you want to listen to. They're completely staffed by volunteers that do these recordings. And as he described it, he said it started with IT, but then it kind of expanded to include all technology, and then it kind of expanded to be science, and now it's really big ideas. So they've got sections like earth shakers, you know, people are really changing the world, big ideas kind of people. So you can go in and pick different categories of business or science or technology, different kind of categories, and listen to whatever you want to listen to. By far my favorite one I ever listened to, and it kind of makes the top 10 all the time on IT Conversations website, is a 2-hour interview with Steve Wozniak. And he's the guy who co-founded Apple with Steve Jobs. And this guy is just, talk about passion. This guy is just so fun to listen to. You're done listening to this, you're going to want to go out and build a ham radio. I mean, it wore off after I got off listening to him. But I mean, you want to go to Radio Shack and pick out capacitors, because it's just so exciting the way he tells the stories of the things that they did and the stories and the pranks. Oh, the pranks are hilarious. The podcast is a couple years old, but it is just as fresh and interesting as could be. So anyway, check out IT Conversations. He talked about something they're doing called the Podcast Academy. And unfortunately, this was the day before the expo, and I didn't even learn about it. Couldn't have done anything about it anyway, but would have been kind of fun to go to. What they're trying to do is train podcasters and kind of come up with a curriculum to teach podcasters how to do it. And then they're referring to that as the farm team for IT Conversations. Since IT Conversations is all volunteers, they need to train staff. That was kind of an interesting idea. And believe it or not, what did Doug Kay say? He said it's all built on passion. It keeps coming back to the same thing, that if you're passionate about your subject, people are going to want to listen to you. That was pretty cool. He talked about the value of free. He said value is diminished when it's too hard to get to. And the example he gave was some of the newspapers where you get a little tidbit of the story, but then you have to log in. And even if that login is free, you know, you're just making it too hard to get to. But when it isn't free, he said, you can't remix and reuse the information. And when you can't remix and reuse it, that diminishes the value of that information because it can't go any further. It just stops. He also said that value is defined as the number of lives you touch times how deeply you touch them. That really was interesting to me. Like, you can talk to 10,000 people, but if you barely touch them, it's not as high a value as maybe you did just a few people and you really touch them. Kind of like the kinds of things Leo was saying. Brian Walls of for NASA actually did an interesting session. He's that's science.nasa.gov is where you can see their podcast. And here's what they've done is they have articles that they've had online for a long time. And now what they're doing is they're having people read those existing articles and make them into podcasts. And he said they're only about five minutes long. And I asked him how they decided how long they wanted them to be. And he said, well, you only want a web page about this big. And he held his hands up. And he says, we don't want them to be a sound bite, but we wanted them to be enough to chew on, but enough to choke on. Yeah, that was kind of funny. So now we have another vote for the 5-minute podcast. Another thing they did recently is they now have a Spanish version of the podcast, and it's at ciencia.nasa.gov. That's ciencia.nasa.gov. When I get time, I'm going to post all these zillions of URLs in the notes anyway, so you don't have to stop if you're driving. He said that Section 508 says that all federally funded material must be accessible to everyone in the United States. And I thought that was kind of cool that that they had that rule. That really makes sense. If our tax dollars paid for it, shouldn't we all be allowed to look at it? The extra cool thing is if it's out on the website and out in a podcast, other nations get the advantage as well. So that's pretty cool. The last seminar I went to was Eric Rice of ericrice.com. And I'm not sure what I learned from this guy, but he was so much fun to listen to. He has ADD way worse than I do. He could not stay on a topic to save his soul. He kept looking back at his notes, but he'd wander off and talk about anything. I think the best example of his ADD is the speakers are supposed to repeat the questions because all of this was being recorded. And I asked him a question and he looked at me and he said, I can't repeat what people say. I'm really bad at this. I think what you said was, and he got stuck. I mean, this was immediately after I said it, but that was kind of funny. He said that one of the things to do with critics, he said, if somebody criticizes you, repeat back their criticism at them in a funny way over and over and over again. And he says the cool part of doing that is that, that they get humiliated, which is always fun, as long as you do it with love, as Chris Breen would say. But you make fun of them, and then you've got material for your show. So, you know, it's all good. And he says the other effect is if you do it often enough, they stop criticizing you. I thought it was kind of silly, but I enjoyed it anyway. He said the good thing about critics is there's a fan right behind them. He says, you get it. Let's picture a row of people coming at you. You got a critic. You just go, okay, fine. Thank you. And then the next guy's a fan. And the next guy's a critic. The next guy's a fan. You know, there's always as many fans out there as there are critics. So don't worry about the critics. Just listen to the fans. I like that. A lot of people ask him how you make money at podcasting. And he said, well, my answer to them is how do you make money at bowling? You know, hey, it's fun. Call it a hobby if you have to. But how do you make money at bowling? That's my new tagline. So let's see. I'm going to wind it up here. Next time, I'm going to try to work on some of the technologies I learned about and a couple of interesting things in there. As always, feedback is delightfully accepted at Allison@podfeet.com. And again, that's Allison with two L's, in case anybody didn't know that. Allison. And it's Podfeet. Not Podfeed, as some people think. So I want to really thank you for listening tonight. I hope you had an attention span that was 40 minutes long. And stay subscribed.